The following message was given by Brothers Osmar Suarez and Frank Hong in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, September 15th, 2019. The title of the message is The Change of Our Diet to the Heavenly Christ as the Reality of the Heavenly Manna, so that we may be reconstituted with Christ to become God's dwelling place. Scripture readings: John chapter 6, verses 32 through 33, 35, 51, 57, and 63. Revelation chapter 2, verse 17, and Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12.
Jesus, we love you. We open to your speaking. Oh, thank you. You created us our vessels. We open our vessel right now. Oh, to fill us with a fresh Christ. Oh, we come to you afresh. Amen. Fill us with you. Amen. We desire you to be our content. Amen. Fill us, Lord. Amen. Fill us till overflowing. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. We have a flowing God. Amen. A God who desires to supply himself as life to his people. Amen. And this is what we see even from the Old Testament. In the book of Exodus, we see that after the Exodus, it begins the record of the longest miracle in history. Amen. Manna, heavenly bread, rain from the heavens upon God's people. And while they were under such a supply, God's people were able to receive the revelation of God himself, the revelation of God's building, build the tabernacle as God's building on the earth, and journey in the book of Numbers with God to fight with God for his interest on the earth, and even enter into the good land. Amen. So all of this happened as they were receiving the supply of manna. Amen. Every day for 40 years, they received a supply of food, a supply of life, which was manna. Hallelujah. Amen. But this manna is just not a story in the Bible. We know this manna typifies a reality. The things in the Old Testament are pictures, shadows of a reality we have in Jesus in the New Testament. Amen. If you have Jesus, you have this reality. Amen. Christ, the heavenly Christ, is the reality of this heavenly manna. We come to this message that we've been enjoying this week. The title is The Change of Our Diet to the Heavenly Christ as the Reality of the Heavenly Manna, so that we may be reconstituted with Christ to become God's dwelling place. So God is not doing many things today. God is doing one thing. The one thing he is doing is that he is building his building. That building is God's dwelling place. The one thing God is doing is building his dwelling place. And for that, it is necessary that we change our diet to a diet of the heavenly Christ, which is the reality of the heavenly manna. Now, this is not our interpretation or the ministry's interpretation. This is what the Bible teaches us. We just read the verses in John, and there are so many other accounts in the Bible, but we're going to go through this in John chapter 6. We read in verse 32, Jesus therefore said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, Moses has not given you the bread out of heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread." So the Lord here is referring to himself as the true bread and as the bread that came down out of heaven. Verse 33, "For the bread of God," so he is also the bread of God, "is he who comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world." In verse 35, we read, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life." Praise the Lord, he is the bread of life. Amen. "He who comes to me shall by no means hunger, and he who believes into me shall by no means ever thirst." Verse 51, "I am the living bread." Oh, there's no room for guessing who is the living bread. We know the Lord Jesus is the living bread. We need to be fed to be strengthened. We need to be fed to be sustained. We need to be fed to grow in life. Well, he is the living bread. Amen. Verse 57 says, "As the living Father has sent me, and I live because of the Father. So he who eats me, he also shall live because of me. So here the Lord himself taught the disciples the way to be fed on this manna, the way to be fed with this reality of manna, which is Jesus himself. He told them to eat him. He who eats me, he also shall live because of me. We have heard this many times, but we can never grow weary of hearing it. This is so crucial for God to accomplish his eternal purpose. So every time we come to these verses, we must pray, Lord, these verses will be new to me, will be fresh food to me. Oh, that every time we come to the Bible, we touch Jesus as the reality of the heavenly manna. So he who eats me, he also shall live because of me. There is many things that we can enjoy during the morning revival about the true bread, the bread of God, the heavenly bread, the bread of life, the living bread. And I hope when we finish, I'm going to just share a couple of points, then Brother Frank will continue. But then it will be your turn to share. So I hope you bring out all these riches. And not only what's in the Holy Word for morning revival, but also your experience of coming to the Word to feed on Jesus. Even our failures. May the Lord use this fellowship today to help us to feed on Christ, to enter in the reality of being fed with the nutrients of the Word, which is Jesus himself, to take him into our being for our reconstitution so that God can have his dwelling place in us. So please, saints, feel free to obey the anointing, the inner voice, to come forward to the mic and to share that portion. To share even that story, to share even the struggle. I don't know about you, but I would like to be in this topic for a month or a year. Because I realize I need help. I need to grow. I need Christ and the church to be my priority. And I cannot change my inner self. But I can feed on Christ. This brings the reality. I know I have this need, and I know you have this need. So may the Lord use this fellowship today to together help one another to go on, amen, to take Christ as life, amen, to take Christ as our heavenly bread, amen, and to take him as our only food, the only diet that God has planned for us. This is God's provision for us to be satisfied and for him to be satisfied, because this is the only way. This is the only way he will accomplish his eternal purpose. Praise the Lord. So first I'd like to go through three passages in the Bible in the Old Testament to see that within us there is the desire for other things. We want to be satisfied with other things other than Christ. And saints, God knows this. He knew this already with the people of Israel in the Old Testament. And that's why I like to take a look at these three passages. There's one in Exodus and two in the book of Numbers to see how people were complaining about this manna, complaining about the matter of eating. Why? Because within them, there is the desire to be fed, to be satisfied with other things. Isn't this our case? Well, God knows it. This brings such a hope to me. It's not that I am so terrible. I'm just discovering I'm terrible, but God knew it already. But the Lord has already provided this divine provision. So let's take a look at these passages. The first one is Exodus 16, verses 3 and 4. Let's read it together. So, yes, then Jehovah said to Moses, I will now rain bread from heaven for you, And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether or not they will walk in my law. So this is the first time that they get to know this bread from heaven that's raining upon them, manna, out of their complaint. So here kind of the complaint makes sense to me, because they just passed the Red Sea. They just enter into the wilderness. Now they are just separated physically from Pharaoh and from the land of Egypt. So this is a picture in the New Testament of coming into the church life. Crossing the Red Sea is a picture of baptism. We have declared we are on God's side. Praise the Lord. We are separated now from the world. And now we are in the church. And now we have access to this heavenly manna, Christ, as the heavenly Christ as the reality of the manna. So it's kind of the beginning of the experience of the church life and the experience of Christ. And it makes sense that, okay, they just came from Egypt. They, by birth, were Hebrews. But because they were born in Egypt and grew up in Egypt, they were now out of Egypt, but Egypt was still inside of them. They were still constituted Egyptians. So it kind of makes sense that they were complaining. They're just beginning the church life. So I will understand someone who's new in the church life still doesn't have much appetite for the word, much appetite for the church to have the priority in his living or her living. That kind of makes sense to me. But then the next passage is in Numbers 11. In Numbers 11, they have been already numbered. Meaning they are already part of God's army. They are journeying with God and fighting with God, moving forward to take the good land. Yet, there's still the complaint. Let's read those verses, 11, 4, 6, and Numbers. But now, they say, our appetite has gone. And there's nothing at all but this manna to look at. So they have no appetite for this manna. Although they have been already numbered, there's been some growth, there's been some measure of maturity, they still have this situation. Why? Because there is still the flesh within them. Desiring the diet of Egypt. There is still in us the flesh that desires the diet of the world, to be satisfied with the things of the world. Yes, we have learned to feed on Jesus. Yes, we enjoy the Lord. We enjoy the church life. But there's something within us that still also craves and hunger for all the things of the world. God knew this. So what was God's measurement? What did he do? He gave them only one food. God gave them only a diet of manna. There is a lesson in here for us. So complaining about our condition, that's not going to help. Looking at our pitiful self will never solve the problem. We must eat. Amen. We must eat this Jesus. Amen. Daily, in a regular way, every day, not expecting a miracle, not expecting something spectacular. Sometimes we come to the Word in the morning and we're in the third heavens. Hallelujah! Amen. Sometimes that doesn't happen. It doesn't mean you're not eating. So saints, we have to pray to the Lord that we will have this appetite, that the appetite will be reviving us, that we will desire to eat Jesus, that we will come to the morning to our Bible, not just the old way, not just the regular thing I do, but expecting to meet the Lord. To eat him, to take him in. Amen. That will be the only way to change the constitution of who I am. Building God's building as God's dwelling place is not about what we do. It's about what we are. It's not what you do. is what you are. How can you change who you are? You can't. But by eating Jesus, by being on this diet of manna only, manna day in and manna day out, not feeding the flesh, there is still the desire of the flesh. But what is the lesson? Don't complain of your pitiful self. Just don't feed the flesh and feed on Jesus. Amen. Then on Numbers 21, this is still much more surprising to me, because in Numbers 21, they have already fought the battle with the king, the Canaanite, the king of Aaron, and they were victorious. So they seem they are already in the glory of the victory of God. Yet there's still the problem. Let's read this verse 5. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and there is no water, and our soul loathes this light bread. Our soul loathes this light bread. They are even speaking of manna as light bread, as something that is not appreciated. Even after they won this battle in Numbers 21. So this teaches us something, and that is the flesh will be always there. And no matter how much experiences of the Lord we may gain, the flesh is still the flesh. And we have to always take measurements with the flesh, not to feed the flesh. The way God deals with the flesh is by putting the flesh aside, by not feeding the flesh and feeding on this manna, feeding on Christ. There's always something in our being that we want other things. Even sometimes the enemy put them in a hidden way. Even in listening to a message, I want a message that makes me feel excited. Well, it can be excited and don't receive anything of Christ, or may not be that excited and still be feeding on Christ. Our appetite should be Christ and Christ alone. Oh, Lord, save us, Lord, from the appetite of other things, and that we will have the appetite, we will develop the taste for the Lord and the Lord alone. On the outline, I like to just to stress this point. It's in Roman numeral 3, if you have the outline with you. It reads, God wants to change our diet to a diet of Christ as the real manna sent by God the Father for God's chosen people to be reconstituted with Christ and to live because of Christ, to become God's dwelling place. So it's not that we build God's dwelling place. We become God's dwelling place. How? By changing our constitution. By being constituted with Christ. And this happens only when we take the Lord in daily, in a regular way. I like this point. This is a quote from Brother Lee, that eating the heavenly Christ daily is a miraculous normality. Eating the heavenly Christ daily is a miraculous normality. So it's a normal thing that we should do every day, to come to the Word and to read the Word and to seek the nutrients of the Word, to receive it into us. Something so normal, not necessarily something so extraordinary, but yet it is miraculous, because God is being added into you day by day. And we may not feel like we grew so much because we had a morning watch, or because we had a morning watch, we expect to have a wonderful day. Maybe that doesn't happen, but it doesn't mean we are not being fed with the Lord. This is the only way, and this is the way God has provided us to grow and for Him to accomplish His purpose in us. Little by little, day by day, cell by cell, even we may still face the same struggles, maybe even still the same failures. Oh, but if we continue when we wanted to do it and when we don't want to do it, When we are excited to come to feed on the Word, and when we're not excited to feed on the Word, but we do this every day. Amen. Oh, by doing this, God is constituting us with Christ. And God is making us His dwelling place. This is the Bible. Let's believe the revelation. Let's take it. And let's practice it. Amen. You know, manna was not to look at it, how beautiful it was. It was for it to take it in, to be eaten. Oh, so we have to be those who eat the Lord. I have a strong burden on touching this point of eating the Word. Because we have heard the truth of pray reading. But maybe this is just something that we routinely do. And I was just very held by this book, How to Enjoy God and How to Practice the Enjoyment of God. So I just want to read a portion because it was helpful to me and it might be helpful to you. It's on chapter 14 on meditating to turn the Word into prayer. So that's what it is. It says, we may read Romans 8, 1 and 2, which says, there is now then no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has freed me in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and of death. We should not read these verses quickly. These two verses are sufficient for us to muse on. We should not muse merely on the words themselves. Rather, our musing should be based on these words. In other words, we muse through and by God's Word. We can muse on the Lord, on His redemption, on His indwelling, our union with Him, and His being life to us. All of these are matters that are related to the verses I just read. So whatever is related of our experience, or of the person of the Lord, of the Lord's work that relates to what we're reading, we can bring it into prayer as we muse on the Word. And here's an example. We should read these verses again, not merely with our mind, but by absorbing the riches in the Word with our spirit. We may say, here's the example. After we read that, we may say, there is no more condemnation in Christ. Amen. Amen. Oh, how sweet it is to be in Christ. Amen. Amen. In Adam, I was condemned and destined to die. But now I am in Christ. Amen. I am a person in Christ. Amen. Amen. In Christ, there is no more condemnation. Therefore, in Christ, there is no death. Amen. Amen. After musing and so these were not the words themselves. We're not just repeating the words. There's nothing wrong with repeating the Word, but this is just helpful to really touch the Lord in the Word. After we musing and meditating in this way, we will spontaneously be filled with thanksgiving and praising. We may say, Lord, I praise you that I am in Christ and I am in you. Thank you. There is no condemnation in you. It is difficult to determine whether this is reading or praying. Within the praying, there is reading. And within the reading, there is praying. It is our prayer, but the words are from Romans 8, 1. This is to pray, read, and read, pray. So it's pray, reading, and reading, praying. Amen. I really found this helpful because I feel that we need a new beginning. You know, manna came every morning. They couldn't gather more the day before for the following day. This must signify a new beginning. Amen. We must have a new beginning every day. Amen. Even a new beginning in our matter of eating the Word. That we pray this desperately, Lord, give me a new beginning. Shake my being, that it will be new to me. Pray reading, eating the Word, receiving Christ in. This matter of praying, well, first of all, the basis for this is we have John 6:63. So when once after the Lord in 6:57 told the disciples that he who eats me, he also shall live because of me, then they probably thought, eat you, Lord? But then the Lord took measures with that to explain them how. Verse 63 says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. So even if they will have the opportunity to eat a piece of flesh of Jesus, that will profit nothing to them. But it is the Spirit who gives life. And then he says, the words, all the words, saints, the words. This can never be all to us. The words which I have spoken to you, our spirit and our life. The words of the Bible, they must be spirit and life to us. And what the Lord means that we will eat him is to eat this word, to digest this word, to assimilate this word, that it becomes part of our constitution. And it begins by opening our mouth and just read it in prayer, as we just read on that example on this precious book. Also, I think we are affected, or I have been affected by a concept of praying. That praying is just to, first, it has nothing to do with how many words we say. Praying has to do with contacting God. In this book, we found a wonderful definition. That prayer is actually to turn to the Spirit, to touch God, to absorb God, to enjoy God. Turn to the Spirit, touch God, absorb God, and enjoy God. Praise the Lord. This is prayer. Amen. That doesn't mean that we cannot do petition and intercession, but that has to come out of that transaction with this living God. Amen. If we are in a prayer meeting, or we follow some prayer, or we have a prayer request and we pray, if at the end of our prayer we did not touch God, we did not absorb God, and we did not enjoy God, then we didn't pray. Because this is what prayer means. So prayer reading is this combining this manna with this musing, with this masticating, with this having this flavor of the taste, assimilating, digesting. May the Lord give us a new beginning in our eating Christ every day. Amen. There are some other points, but I will not touch them all. Maybe I go with some notes that they really touch me in the training. That is the matter of the appetite and the taste. Since we have the taste for other things, we must pray. Here in this point it says, how marvelous it is. It was that God gave the people nothing except manna. This indicates that he gave them nothing except Christ. May the Lord take away the desire and hunger for anything other than Christ. We can say this prayer. The Lord will be faithful to answer it. This other note is very good. The Egyptian diet denotes all things that we desire to feed on in order to find satisfaction. America is the leading country with respect to the Egyptian diet. The worldly entertainment, whatever you desire, hunger, and thirst after, is the diet according to which our being has been constituted. So whatever our constitution is, that will be our hunger, that will be our taste, that will be our appetite. If we're filled with things of the world, if we partake of the diet of the world, we will hunger, thirst for the things of the world. But if we feed on Christ and we do not feed the flesh, the Lord will develop in us the taste of the constitution that is happening on us. May the Lord accomplish this in us. We will be those who feed on Christ and Christ alone. I'd like to share with you a testimony. A couple of weeks ago, I was visiting my family in Colombia. So I went with my kids and my wife, and we went to visit the family, and we always find ways to also be with the saints. And they had this conference for the sisters. 450 sisters in Colombia gathered in the capital in Bogota to feed on the word. And we heard all the testimonies, and these sisters were on fire. And I realized, what is it? Is it the weather? Is it because it is in Spanish? No. I realized it's the hunger. It's the hunger, saints. When someone is hungry, the word is manna. Not only heavenly manna rains upon this believer. Fire comes from above. Amen. They were on fire. But then I also realized the conditions they live in, the midst of difficulties. Much difficulties. And out of their difficulties, out of their lack, they gave to bring other sisters from the neighboring country, Venezuela. And if you have heard the news, Venezuela is under an economical and a political downturn. People are fleeing the country. They are physically hungry. They are in need. They are suffering. And then the sisters from Colombia brought some into Bogota so that they could enjoy the word. But that's not what impresses me. What impresses me is that after that conference, they could very well stay in Colombia because the environment is much better for them. But they still chose to go back to the place of suffering. Why? Because of the church. Amen. Because they are feeding on Christ. Amen. And all those, they're suffering there, not only for themselves, but for their families, their children, their husbands. They still choose to go back because of the church. They value the word. Amen. And they value the work of God. Amen. Building his testimony on the earth. Amen. Because they're hungry. And because they don't really have much to replace this diet with. Here in America, as I read in the outline, we have all the riches of Egypt here. So it's so easy to replace Christ with prosperity, with the job, with so many things that the world offers. We have them all at our disposal. But may the Lord cover us and save us and keep us under this diet, under this one food, Christ. You know, the Lord told the disciples, work not for the food which perishes, but for the food which abides unto eternal life. All of this is vanity. Only Christ, this food, is the food that abides unto eternal life. I have so much to say, saints, but I will stop here, and I hope the Spirit will continue to speak to us, to help us in this fellowship, to be drawn to the Lord, to desire to have him as our food every day. Amen.
Praise the Lord. From the picture in the book of Exodus through Numbers, we see that God really has a purpose in calling out his people. And that purpose is not only to physically call them out of Egypt, but it's to bring them through the wilderness and into the good land, and eventually to build up the temple as God's expression. Actually, that temple, it's not really where God dwells. God actually dwells among his people. So for this, there's a need for God to do a lot of things with his people. God would not build his dwelling place in Egypt. That's why he has to bring them out. Neither would God build his tabernacle or dwelling place among Egyptians, which are who the children of Israel are. You know, I came to this country in 1989. I was born in Taiwan, and I was a Taiwanese. I came in 1989. I left Taiwan, but I was still a Taiwanese. But today, after, you know, more than 30 years, I'm becoming an American, right? By eating all the American diet. I still like to eat Chinese food, but I'm fine with steak and potatoes. And I like potatoes and steak better than rice and, you know, chicken, kung pao chicken or something. So our diet is really who we are. What we eat, what we take in, becomes part of us. And God knows this. And in order for His people to become His dwelling place, which is His expression, we must be reconstituted. And this we see in the miracle of giving the children of Israel manna. They are to eat this only food. No, God only has one diet, and that's manna. Therefore, today, as the church, as God's people in the New Testament, God only cares for one kind of diet that we should have, and that is Christ. But we have to admit, just as our brother said, how worldly we are. We like to watch shows. We like other entertainments. We know Christ is good. We enjoy Christ. But we still prefer a lot of other enjoyments in our downtime. We like to watch things on YouTube. We like to read the newspapers. Our tastes are still for the worldly things. And we can't really help ourselves. That's just the way we are. And God knows that. God understands that. Amen. So God is not going to beat you into enjoying Christ. He wants to offer Christ to you. Amen. As your diet. Amen. And bit by bit, by regular eating. You know, diet is not something you eat once in a while, a big feast. Diet has to be something regular. You take in daily. So it is God's desire, and it's our hope, and it's really His desire to change our diet daily so that we develop a taste for Christ. I enjoy from this message this week, Revelation 2:7 concerning this matter of eating the hidden manna. Maybe we can read this verse together. Revelation 2:17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, to him I will give of the hidden manna, and to him I will give a white stone, and upon the stone a new name written, which no one knows except he who receives it. Now this was spoken to the church in Pergamos, which prefigure a time of the church which was married to the world. And actually, you look around Christians in general today, there may be millions of Christians. But all the Christians, they may have been called out from the world, but in their constitution, in their makeup, in our constitution, in our makeup, we're still very worldly. So here, the Lord gave a call to the overcomers. To those who overcome, I'll give them to eat of the hidden manna. And what is the hidden manna? Hidden manna then refers back to Exodus chapter 16, verse 31 and 32. After the Lord, Jehovah gave the children of Israel bread from heaven, which is manna, He asked them to take a pot and take an omerful of manna and to put it in a golden pot, and this golden pot is then put into the ark, which is in the Holy of Holies. And this is the hidden manna that Revelation 2:17 is referred to. So what does that mean? What is the difference between the open manna and a hidden manna? And I really enjoy this sentence. Well, the open manna is the manna that's out there publicly, that you have to gather daily. And no matter how much you gather, each day, what you gather, little or more, that's enough for your eating. And that's an omerful. So here, the hidden manna really refers to the Christ that we have eaten, that we have enjoyed. And this was put into the ark as a memorial. So I really enjoyed this sentence. It says, do not think that it is impossible for you to be an overcomer. Now, when we hear this word overcome, many of us right away says, that's not me. I cannot be an overcomer, right? But do not think that it's that it is impossible for you to be an overcomer. You can become an overcomer by enjoying Christ as manna. Eat the open manna, and Christ will become the hidden manna. Amen. This hidden manna will then reconstitute you into an overcomer. So I have some burden to just emphasize the, what is it to eat? Now, to eat involves three steps. First, you have to take something in. So therefore, something has to be organic for you to take in for our physical body. So there's the intake. Then there's the second step is the assimilation. Has to be assimilated. Oh, second step is digestion. And the third step is assimilation. Amen. So first you have to do the take it in, then you have to digest it, then you have to assimilate it. You know, I remember that the Lord reminded me when I was very young, well, first you have to take it in, right? And what does it mean to eat Christ? We know how to eat physical food, but what does it mean to eat Christ? And I think Brother Osmar has already explained quite clearly, based on John chapter 6, verse 63, we eat Christ by eating his word. Now the Lord says, I am the bread which came down out of heaven. He who eats of me should not die but have eternal life. But right away, there was a question, how do we eat you? Are we supposed to eat your flesh and drink your blood? And Jesus said, the flesh profits nothing. It is the word which I have spoken to you, our spirit and our life. So the Lord is not talking about eating him physically or taking a bite of his flesh. But he says, the words which I have spoken to you, our spirit and our life. Amen. So we eat Christ by taking in the word. But how do we take in the word? Or does that mean we just open the Bible, read it, we eat Christ? So I have some burden concerning the three steps of eating. First, you have to open up the word and read the word, right? If you don't open your Bible physically, and then you don't have the word. You don't have the word of God with you. So this is the first step, intake. Many of the students in Stony Brook, they've started to have corporate morning watch every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. That's very good. You know, to help the students to get up on a Saturday at 8 a.m. to come together, to open up the Bible, and to pray, read over the word. This is very good. This help us to take in the word. Help us to take in the word. But in order for you to eat the word, or in order for you to eat Christ spiritually, you have to exercise your spirit, because the spirit is your eating organ. Amen. As far as spiritually speaking, your spirit is your eating organ. And how do you exercise your spirit? Well, the quickest way is to pray, right? And what does it mean to pray? You exercise your spirit, you contact God, you absorb God, and you enjoy God. Amen. That's a wonderful definition, right? So what is it to pray? So when we come to the Word, we have to come or mingle our reading of the word with prayer. Not only just to repeat something from the word, but as we're praying, as we're reading, we can turn the word into a little prayer. And as we're praying, we're not just asking the Lord for many things. As we're praying, learn to pray with the word that you have just read. So this practice of prayer reading, I know many of us have heard the practice of prayer reading, but I'm not sure how, you know, we need to exercise more to pray read in the way of eating the Lord. So first, we have to contact the Word. Then you need to let the Word, you need to digest the Word. And what does it mean to digest the Word? To digest the Word is to allow the Word to make home in your hearts. Or as Colossians said, let the word dwell in you richly. No, the word of God is living and operative and sharper than any two-edged sword. So when you take in this word, not only it helps you in your understanding, but that word operates in you throughout the day. And if you go along with the word, that is your digestion of the word. So that word can affect some change in you, maybe not so obvious to you. Friday, I heard of a testimony of a sister who's very hungry and who's been really enjoying the word. And she noticed, she came also to the United States as a student, and she lived with her uncle. And she doesn't really have that much interaction with her uncle. So usually it's to go home, go to school, go home, and she doesn't talk to her uncle that much. But as recently she's been enjoying the word and exercise in not only reading the word, but sharing the word and enjoying the word with the saints. She just has some feeling that when she come home, she felt that she needs to say hi or greet her uncle and talk to her uncle a little bit. Now, this is a small matter, right? But when I hear this testimony, that's a change. Nobody told her to do that. Nobody said, you know, you're living in your uncle's house and you should greet your uncle once in a while. Nobody told her that. We didn't even know that was her living situation. But she just had the feeling, as she's enjoying the word, there was a little change in her being that, I need to know my uncle a little bit, or at least greet my uncle. That's a little change, that as you're enjoying the word, there's a lot of change happening in you. Yesterday we were with some young brothers, and we asked some 6th grade, 7th grade, middle school brothers, have you seen any change since you believe in the Lord and are baptized? And many of them couldn't think of drastic changes. We, you know, we were singing a hymn, heavens are bluer, the skies are bluer, the birds sang more beautiful, the flowers are more beautiful. So we asked, do you have this kind of experience? No. I said, neither did I. I grew up in a church. I don't have all these kind of dramatic changes. So we asked them, but you know, have you noticed anything? And many of them, I was glad to hear, that they enjoy reading the Bible. They can't explain why, but they used to read the Bible, but now they enjoy reading the Bible a little bit more. That is a wonderful change. That is a word not only being stored in them, they not only contact the word, but there's a little change in their being. And this week I enjoyed the manna. One of the characteristics of the manna that is white, according to Exodus 16:31, I believe. It is white. And white is a color of purity. So manna is something that's very pure. And in Psalm 119:140, it says, your word is very pure, and your servant loves it. So the word of God is pure. And when you eat, you know, and the Lord touched me, the Lord convicted me, I am not pure. I am somewhat complicated because I think a lot. So if someone talks to me, you know, I think, why is he talking to me? Why is he saying that to me? Right away, you know, the gears in my mind start going on. Don't you have that? I don't know if you have that experience, but I am not pure. I am not simple. I'm somewhat complicated. But this week, I enjoy that the Word of God is pure. It's white. And when you take in the Word of God, it makes you pure. So yesterday afternoon, I had an experience. My wife was just talking related. We're talking about the church, about something about the service, and she's just saying something concerning how the different sisters feel about the service, meeting with the parents, and I was listening, and you know, right away I started thinking, okay, you should do this, and that's wrong. You did this wrong. That, you know, you should do it this way. And you know, once in a while, words just came out, right? And when that came out, she's not happy. She said, I'm just trying to tell you what the sisters are fellowshipping. You know, this happened many times with us, with our spouse, with our parents, with our children. As we're speaking, we're saying things, things just go, you know, we already are working on a solution, or we already have a lot of criticism. Because we're not that simple. We don't just listen. We don't listen. We like to talk. So this time when her expression face fell, right away I was like, Lord, I need to stop and just listen. Lord, I need to eat you. I can't help myself. I need you to be my daily diet. Amen. So saints, we need to contact the Word, and we need to allow the Word to operate in us in a living way. When whatever the Lord is speaking to us, bring the words back to us, we just need to learn to say amen. Then as a result, that word would then be assimilated into us. Then we have an expression, just like how the Lord Jesus is. You know, manna means, what is it? It's something mysterious. So the Lord Jesus is quite mysterious. The more you enjoy him through his word, you become mysterious. People are wondering, what are you into? Why are you still smiling? How can you take this? How can you handle that? You become an expression of the Lord Jesus that you have just taken. So this is something we have to practice. We fail, we practice, we just have to keep on practicing. Coming to the Word of God in a prayerful way, to pray and to read and enjoy the Word. And lastly, I just want to mention a little point that I enjoy from this message this week. You know, this hidden manna, the manna that was kept in the golden pot, was put in the ark. And the ark is in the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies is in the center of the tabernacle. So there's this statement that Christ, just as the manna in the golden pot was the focal point of God's dwelling place, so Christ, as the manna eaten by us, is the focal point of God's dwelling today. God is building his church, right? And we're here because we want to build up the church with God. But in building the church or the dwelling place of God, there is a focal point, and that is our eating Christ. That's our enjoyment of Christ. And that's our Christ as the manna eaten by us to reconstitute us. This is the focal point. It's not in a lot of things that we do. So I enjoy this statement both as an encouragement and as a warning. Encouragement for many saints who, you know, you may be restricted. You know, you hear many of the events. You know, this conference is happening there, that conference is happening there. But you may be restricted in your situation that you're not able to go to many conferences. Don't get discouraged, because the focal point of the building of God's dwelling place is in your daily eating of Christ. So if you enjoy Christ in the morning, and that word operates in you throughout the day, you are in the center of the building of God's church. Amen. You're in the focal point. But on the flip side, as a warning, you know, I go to many conferences. Last 2 weeks, I was in KPCC with the college students, and also with the upstate churches for blending. if I just go to all these places, but if I'm not eating Christ in my daily life to learn to take Christ as the manna, then I am not in the focal point of God's dwelling place. So we have to be warned. What God is doing today, the building up of the church, is not in many activities and events. These events help us to develop our appetite, to have a taste for God's word, and to share that word together with one another, which I hope many of you will come up and share your portion. But we all have to eat for ourselves. No one can eat Christ for you. Right. We can encourage you, but you have to eat Christ for yourself. Amen. And as you're eating, you become a functioning, living member of the body of Christ. Amen. You grow into the head, and out from that head, you become a member who is building up the body of Christ. So this is what God is doing day in and day out. Maybe it's very slow, very, very ordinary, but this is what he is doing. So let's remain in eating him and really taking him in. Praise the Lord.